Chapter 25. In Pasita's camp, Pasita was a short, stocky man with a large, dark mustache. He attired himself after his own ideas of what should constitute the uniform of a general, ideas more or less influenced and modified by the chance and caprice of fortune. At the moment that Billy, Bridge, and Midwall were dragged into his presence, his torso was enwrapped in a once resplendent coat covered with yards of gold braid. Upon his shoulders were brass epaulets such as are connected only in one's mind with the ancient chorus ladies of the light operas of 15 or 20 years ago. Upon his legs were some rusty and ragged overalls. His feet were bare. He scowled ferociously at the prisoners, while his lieutenant narrated the thrilling facts of their capture, thrilling by embellishment. "You are Americanos?" he asked of Bridge and Billy. Both agreed that they were. Then Pasita turned toward Midwall. "Where is Villa?" he asked. "How should I know, my general?" parried Midwall. "Oh, am I a poor man with a tiny rancho, to know of the movements of the great ones of the earth? I did not even know where was the great general Pasita until now I am brought into his gracious presence, to throw myself at his feet and implore that I be permitted to serve him in even the meanest of capacities." Pasita appeared not to hear what Midwall had said. He turned his shoulder toward the man, and addressed Billy in broken English. "You were on your way to El Arobo Rancho, eh? Are you acquainted there?" he asked. Billy replied that they were not merely looking for employment upon an American-owned rancher in an American mine. "Why did you leave your own country?" asked Pasita. "What do you want here in Mexico?" "Well, I'll top," replied Billy. "You see, the birds was flying south and winter was in the air, and a fathead dick from Kai was on me trail, so I ducks."
"Ducks?"
queried Pasita, mystified. "H, the ducks, they fly south, I see."
"Nah, you poor simp, I blows," explained Billy.
"Ah, yes," agreed Pasita, not wishing to admit any ignorance of plain American even before a despised gringo. "At the large face dick, what might that be? I have spent much time in the States, but I do not know that I said fat head dick. That's a fly cop," Billy elucidated. "It is he then that is the bird." Pasita beamed at this evidence of his own sagacity. "E fly. Flanagan ain't no bird, Flanagan's a dub." Bridge came to the rescue. "My erudite friend means," he explained, "that the police chased him out of the United States of America." Pasita raised his eyebrows. All was now clear to him. "But why did he not say so?" he asked.
"He tried to," said Bridge.
"He did his best." "Quit the air, kitten," admonished Billy. A bright fight suddenly burst upon Pasita. He turned upon Bridge. "Your friend is not then an American?" he asked.
"Guessed it.
That is why I could not understand him. He speaks the language of the gringo less well even than I. From what country is he?" Billy Byrne would have asserted with some show of asperity that he was nothing if not American, but Bridge was quick to see a possible loophole for escape for his friend in Pasita's belief that Billy was no gringo, and warned the latter to silence by a quick motion of his head. "He's from Grand Avenue," he said. "He is not exactly in Germany, but there are a great many Germans there. My friend is a native, so he don't speak German or English either. They have a language of their own in Grand Avenue."
"I see," said Pasita. "German colony. I like the Germans. They furnish me with much ammunition and rifles. They are my very good friends."
"Take Midwall and the gringo away. This to the soldiers who had brought the prisoners to him. Will speak further with this man from Grand Avenue." When the others had passed out of hearing, Pasita addressed Billy. "I am sorry, senor," he said, "that you have been put to so much inconvenience. My men could not know that you were not a gringo, but I can make it all right. I will make it all right. You are a big man. The gringos have chased you from their country as they chased me. I hate them.
You hate them.
But enough of them. You have no business in Mexico except to seek work. I give you work. You are big.
You are strong.
You are like a bull. You stay with me, senor, and I make you captain. I need men what can talk some English and look like gringo. You do fine. We make much money, you and I. We make it all time while we fight to liberate my poor Mexico.
When Mexico liberate, we fight some more to liberate her again. The Germans, they give me much money to liberate Mexico, and there are other ways of getting much money. When one is riding around through rich country with soldiers liberating his poor, bleeding country. Save? Yep, I guess I savvy, said Billy, and it listens all right to me as far as you've gone. My pal in on it? Eh? You make my friend a captain too? Pasita held up his hands, and rolled his eyes in holy horror. Take a gringo into his band? It was unthinkable. He shot, he cried. Swear to kill all gringo. I become savior of my country. I ridder of all Americanos. Nix on the captain stuff for me then, said Billy, firmly. That guy's a right one. If any big stiff thinks he can croak little Al Bridge, while Billy burns around he's got another thing coming. Why, me and him's just like brothers. You like this gringo? Asked Pasita. You bet, cried Billy. Pasita thought for several minutes. In his mind, was a scheme which required the help of just such an individual as this stranger, someone who was utterly unknown in the surrounding country, and whose presence in a town could not by any stretch of the imagination be connected in any way with the bandit, Pasita. I tell you, he said. Let your friend go. I send him under safe escort to El Arobo Rancho. Maybe he help us there after a while. If you stay, I let him go. Otherwise, I shoot you both with Miguel. What you got it in for, McFur? Asked Billy. He's a harmless sort of guy. He Velista. Velista with gringos run Mexico, gringos and the church. Just like Huerta would have done it, if they'd given him a chance, only Huerta more for church than for gringos. Ah, let the poor boob go, urged Billy, and I'll come along with you. Why, he's got a wife, and kids, you wouldn't want to leave them without no one to look after them in this godforsaken country. Pasita grinned indulgently. Very well, senior captain, he said, bowing low. Let Miguel and your honorable friend go. I send safe escort with them. Bully for you, I'll pot, exclaimed Billy, and Pasita smiled delightedly in the belief that some complimentary title had been applied to him in the language of Fern Avenue. LL go and tell them, said Billy. Yes, said Pasita, and say to them that they will start early in the morning. As Billy turned and walked in the direction that the soldiers had led Bridge and Miguel, Pasita beckoned to a soldier who leaned upon his gun at a short distance from his enroll, a barefooted slovenly attempt at a headquarters orderly. Send Captain Rosales to me, directed Pasita. The soldier shuffled away to where a little circle of men in wide-brimmed, metal-encrusted hats squatted in the shade of a tree, chatting, laughing, and rolling cigarettes. He saluted one of these, and delivered his message, whereupon the tall gaunt Captain Rosales arose and came over to Pasita. The big one who was brought in today is not a gringo, said Pasita, by way of opening the conversation. He is from Grand Avenue. He can be of great service to us, for he is very friendly with the Germans, yet he looks like a gringo, and could pass for one. We can utilize him. Also, he is very large, and appears to be equally strong. He should make a good fighter, and we have none too many. I have made him a captain. Rosales grinned. Already among Pasita's following of 100 men there were 15 captains. Where is Grand Avenue? Asked Rosales. You mean to say, my dear captain, exclaimed Pasita, that a man of your education does not know where Grand Avenue is? I am surprised. Why, it is a German colony. Yes, of course. I recall it well now. For the moment it had slipped my mind. My grandfather, who was a great traveler, was there many times. I have heard him speak of it often. But I did not summon you, that we might discuss European geography, interrupted Pasita. Sent for you to tell you that the stranger would not consent to serve me unless I liberated his friend, the gringo, and that sneaking spy of a Miguel. I was forced to yield, for we can use the stranger. So I have promised, my dear captain, that I shall send them upon their road with a safe escort in the morning, and you shall command the guard. Upon your life, respect my promise, Rosales. But if some of Villa's cutthroats should fall upon you, and in the battle, while you were trying to defend the gringo and Miguel, Both should be slain by the bullets of the Philistines, but it would be deplorable, Razales, but it would not be your fault. Who, indeed, could blame you who had fought well, and risked your men and yourself in the performance of your sacred duty? Razales, should such a thing occur, what could I do in token of my great pleasure other than make you a colonel? I shall defend them with my life, my general, cried Razales, bowing low. Good, cried Pasita. That is all. Razales started back toward the ring of smokers. Ah, captain, cried Pasita. Another thing. Will you make it known to the other officers that the stranger from Green Avenue is a captain, and that it is my wish that he be well treated, but not told, so much as might injure him, or his usefulness, about our sacred work of liberating poor, bleeding, unhappy Mexico? Again Razales bowed and departed. This time he was not recalled. Billy found Bridge and Miguel squatting on the ground with two dirty-faced peons standing guard over them. The latter were some little distance away. They made no objection when Billy approached the prisoners, though they had looked in mild surprise when they saw him crossing toward them without a guard. Billy sat down beside Bridge and broke into a laugh. What's the joke? Asked Bridge. Are we going to be hanged instead of being shot? We ain't going to be either, said Billy, and I'm a captain. Would I know about that? He explained all that had taken place between himself and Pasita, while Bridge and Miguel listened attentively to his every word. I thought it was about the only way out for us, said Billy. We were in worse than I thought. Can the Bowery stuff, Billy, cried Bridge, and talk like a white man. You can, you know. All right, Bo, cried Billy, good-naturedly. Oosie, I forget, when there is anything pressing like this, to chew about. Then I fall back into the old lingo. Well, as I was saying, I didn't want to do it, unless you would stay too, but he wouldn't have you. He has it in for all gringos, and that bull you passed him about me being from a foreign country called Grand Avenue. He fell for it like a root for the tapped wire stuff. He said if I wouldn't stay and help him, he'd croak the bunch of us. How about that ace in the hole you were telling me about? Asked Bridge. I still got it, and Billy fondled something hard that swung under his left arm beneath his shirt. But, Lord, man, what could I do against the whole bunch? I might get a few of them, but they'd get us all in the end. This other way is better, though I hate to have to split with you, old man. He was silent then for a moment, looking hard at the ground. Bridge whistled and cleared his throat. I've always wanted to spend a year in Rio, he said. We'll meet there when you can make your getaway. You've said it, agreed Byrne. Tease Rio as soon as we can make it. Pasita's promised to set you both loose in the morning and send you under safe escort Miguel to his happy home and you to El Arobo Rancho. I guess the old stiff isn't so bad after all. Miguel had pricked up his ears at the sound of the word escort. He leaned far forward, closer to the two Americans, and whispered. Who is to command the escort, he asked. I dunno, said Billy. What difference does it make? It makes all the difference between life and death for your friend and for me, said Miguel. Here is no reason why I should need an escort. I know my way throughout all Chihuahua as well as Pasita or any of his cutthroats. I have come and gone all my life without an escort. Of course your friend is different. It might be well for him to have company to El Arobo. Maybe it is all right, but wait until we learn who commands the escort. I know Pasita well. I know his methods. If Razales rides out with us tomorrow morning, you may say goodbye to your friend forever, for you will never see him in Rio or elsewhere. He and I will be dead before 10 o'clock. What makes you think that, Bo? Demanded Billy. I do not think, Senor, replied Miguel. I know. Well, said Billy, we'll wait and see. If it is Razales, say nothing, said Miguel. He will do no good. But we may then be on the watch, and if possible you might find the means to obtain a couple of revolvers for us. In which case, he shrugged and permitted a faint smile to flex his lips. As they talked, a soldier came and announced that they were no longer prisoners, they were to have the freedom of the camp. But, he concluded, the general requests that you do not pass beyond the limits of the camp. There are many desperados in the hills, and he fears for your safety, now that you are his guests. The man spoke Spanish, so that it was necessary that Bridge interpret his words for the benefit of Billy, who had understood only part of what he said. Ask him, said Byrne, if that stuff goes for me too. He says no, replied Bridge after questioning the soldier, that the captain is now one of them, and may go and come as do the other officers. Such are Pasita's orders. Billy arose. The messenger had returned to his post at headquarters. The guard had withdrawn, leaving the three men alone. So long, old man, said Billy. If I'm going to be of any help to you, and Mick, the less I'm seen with you the better. I'll blow over and mix with the Dago bunch, and practice sitting on my heels. It seems to be the right dope down here, and I got to learn all I can about being a greaser seeing that I've turned one. Goodbye, Billy, remember Rio, said Bridge. And the revolvers, senior, added Miguel. You bet, replied Billy, and strolled off in the direction of the little circle of cigarette smokers. As he approached them, Rosales looked up and smiled. Then, rising, extended his hand. Senior Captain, he said, we welcome you. I am Captain Rosales. He hesitated, waiting for Billy to give his name. My moniker's Byrne, said Billy. Pleased to meet you, Cap. Ah, Captain Byrne, and Rosales proceeded to introduce the newcomer to his fellow officers. Several, like Rosales, were educated men who had been officers in the army under former regimes, but had turned bandit as the safer alternative to suffering immediate death at the hands of the faction then in power. The others, for the most part, were pure-blooded Indians whose adult lives had been spent in outlawry and brigandage. All were small of stature beside the giant, Byrne. Rosales and two others spoke English. With those Billy conversed. He tried to learn from them the name of the officer who was to command the escort that was to accompany Bridge and Miguel into the valley on the morrow, but Rosales and the others assured him that they did not know. When he had asked the question, Billy had been looking straight at Rosales, and he had seen the man's pupils contract, and noticed the slight backward movement of the body which also denotes determination. Billy knew, therefore, that Rosales was lying. He did know who was to command the escort, and there was something sinister in that knowledge, or the fellow would not have denied it. The American began to consider plans for saving his friend from the fate which Pasita had outlined for him. Rosales, too, was thinking rapidly. He was no fool. Why had the stranger desired to know who was to command the escort? He knew none of the officers personally. What difference, then, did it make to him who rode out on the morrow with his friend? Ah, but Miguel knew that it would make a difference. Miguel had spoken to the new captain, and aroused his suspicions. Rosales excused himself and rose. A moment later he was in conversation with Pasita, unburdening himself of his suspicions, and outlining a plan. Do not send me in charge of the escort, he advised. Send Captain Byrne himself. Pasita poo-pooed the idea. But wait, urged Rosales. Let the stranger ride in command, with a half dozen picked men who will see that nothing goes wrong. An hour before dawn I will send two men, they will be our best shots on the head. They will stop at a place we both know, and about noon the Captain Byrne and his escort will ride back to camp and tell us that they were attacked by a troop of Villa's men, and that both our guests were killed. It will be sad, but it will not be our fault. We will swear vengeance upon Villa, and the Captain Byrne will hate him as a good pacifist should. You have the cunning of the coyote, my captain, cried Pasita. Tea shall be done as you suggest. Go now, and I will send for Captain Byrne, and give him his orders for the morning. As Rosales strolled away, a figure rose from the shadows at the side of Pasita's tent, and slunk off into the darkness. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.